You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
As global markets open, U.S. Treasury yields dive in response to the conflict in Israel. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for tuning in. When there's turmoil, investors turn to safe havens, which is why the conflict in Israel has sent yields on the U.S. Treasuries tumbling when government bonds resumed trading in Asia this morning. This happened because investors decided to put their money into U.S. Treasury bonds, which are seen as a safe bet when things get a bit shaky and bond yields fall as prices rise. This drop in yields is also a bit of a change from what we saw last week when longer-term bonds were getting sold off. But I know this can all be a bit confusing. So here's Russ Mould, Investment Director at AJ Bell, to explain. Hello, Russ.
Hello, Leanna.
Russ, let's start from the basics. What's a bond?
It is a form of debt issued by governments, companies or supranationals or municipalities. And then that debt is basically traded like you would a share on a market.
And Russ, why would you buy them and who buys them?
They're generally bought for safety because debt is known as bonds and known as a fixed income. They're issued at a fixed price. The interest is paid at fixed times in fixed amounts. And then once the loan matures, the initial investment is returned at a pre-agreed price at a pre-agreed time. So when things go well, they're very safe and you get a nice degree of income from them. When things go badly, well, the issuer can default and therefore not pay the income or even not repay the loan. But that's generally pretty rare.
Why are people selling them?
The main reason is inflation. For example, if you buy a bond that is offering you a yield of 3% and inflation is running at 6%, then you're guaranteeing yourself an annual 3% loss in post-inflation or real terms. The second is that central banks have been raising interest rates to try and squash inflation. That means that the return on cash has been going up. So governments have been having to offer a higher yield to try and compensate and get people to buy their debt. And the third reason is government debt is going through the roof. America has added $3 trillion of debt almost since the last global debt ceiling approval in April. And that is starting to worry investors that there's so many more bonds coming down the pipe. They'll have to offer a higher coupon or interest rate still to tempt people to buy them.
And why should people care?
Again, it's not just the reference mark for stock market returns. It's the reference mark for the interest on mortgages, on credit cards, on auto loans. So it does affect the price of money right across the board. So if government US Treasury yields are going up, then your mortgage yield will be going up and the interest rate on your credit card will be going up as well.
And what about what's happening with Israel and Palestine? What happens to bond markets?
The initial outbreak of hostilities in Gaza, we did see investors look for a haven, a safe place to live, and they went for the dollar, the yen, gold, but also they did go back to US Treasuries because, again, even if inflation is a problem and American debt is a worry, they're probably still a safer place to be than shares if, for example, the oil price were to spike and have a very, very dramatic effect upon global economic activity. That would probably have a bigger effect upon company profits than it would on government's abilities to pay their debt, for example.
All right. Well, thank you so much for explaining it to me. Russ Mould, Investment Director at AJ Bell. Thanks for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. The price of oil dipped after the biggest jump in 6 months yesterday, but the price of European natural gas jumped for the second day in a row after Chevron was forced to stop production in a gas field off the coast of Israel. Now, they use something called the Title Transfer Facility to measure the price of gas in Europe. The TTF went up by 5.7% to just over $48 per unit this morning. In Germany, there's a campaign happening right now to change a pretty old law. This law sends a lot of people to jail each year just because they didn't have a ticket when riding on public transport. And believe it or not, this law goes way back to the time when the Nazis were in power in the early 1930s. The person leading this campaign has a plan to grab everyone's attention. Tim Mansell has a story for us.
All right. What does the ticket cost? So I gotta get a ticket both for me and for my bike, So it's 320, and then for my bike, it's another 220. So that's 540.
Arne Zemsrotter, journalist and activist, usually cycles around Berlin, but today he's agreed to take the train. Arne is the founder of the Freedom Fund, an eye-catching initiative that helps people sent to jail for not buying a train ticket.
We actually pay the fines for people who are imprisoned, and in that moment, when we pay it, people can actually walk free.
This began at the end of 2021. Arne arrived at one of Berlin's prisons with 20,000 euros in cash in his pocket. 12 people walked free that day. Since then, he's received donations of around 800,000 euros and paid for more than 850 people to get out of jail.
We believe that the law that criminalizes people for riding without a ticket is deeply unjust, and it discriminates heavily against people who don't have money, against people who don't have housing, against people who are already in a crisis.
It's estimated that 7,000 people are in prison in Germany for not paying a fare.
Ja, das hier ist natürlich unsere Anlaufstelle hier.
Gisa Merz, a recovering heroin addict, served a 4-month sentence after being caught twice without a ticket.
Ja, ich bin im Methadon-Programm gewesen, das ist diese Ersatzdroge.
I was on methadone, the drug they give you instead of heroin, and you have to go to the clinic every day to take it. I didn't have a ticket, but I had to get there before I started to get withdrawal symptoms.
4 stationen mit der S-Bahn.
It was just 4 stops, and for 4 stops you have to pay 3 euros and 10 cents. It was the end of the month and I didn't have any money left.
Most people who end up in prison for fare dodging do so because they fail to pay the fine imposed by the court. Some, like Giza, are sent straight to prison. In these cases, the Freedom Fund can't help. If you're caught without a ticket on most German transport systems, you'll be asked to pay an immediate 60 euro penalty fare. It's usually serial offenders who are then referred for prosecution. Lars Wagner of VDV, an organisation representing hundreds of German public transport companies, says they lose 300 million euros a year to fare dodgers.
The 60 euros seems not to be enough, so we have to do more to get these people scared of being caught again.
Do you think if people were no longer prosecuted, it would lead to an epidemic of people travelling without a ticket?
I don't know.
But your organisation is clear that the existence of this law is an effective deterrent.
Yes, for sure.
Arne Zemsrot says the irony of his campaign is that the people who ask most frequently for financial help are the prisons themselves. The Freedom Fund application form is often given to prisoners as they arrive to start their sentence.
On one point, the state criminalizes people. And then on the other side, the same state comes to a civil society organization and is asking them for help to correct this, which really shows you the absurdity of it all.
That was Arne Zemsrot, ending that report from Tim Mansell in Germany. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was Ollie Dalbert-Hansen. On the tech, Sam Biddle. And I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.